Hello and welcome to the Melissa Diaz Report. My name is Melissa Diaz, coming to you live from Austin, Texas, home of the drawl, but not because you're a cowboy. It's just because you had too many whiskey sours on the dirty 6th Street drag, am I right? And then you stumbled into the homeless shelter at the end of the road thinking it was another bar. Boy, were you in for a surprise. When they all turned to look at you like a record scratch, and when you walked into that homeless shelter, am I right? Maybe somebody pointed a gun at you. Who knows? There's lots of people with guns here, even the homeless. That's something you always have to keep in mind here. It probably makes people treat the homeless better than they would in a place where they're not able to get the guns because the gun regulations are too strict. Like New York. New York, homeless people get treated like garbage all the time. But imagine if they had some guns. Guns. And they could just blaze those guns anytime some group of punks from Long Island or something tried to tangle with them. They would make those kids dance. Dance the tarantella all the way back to Long Island where they belong. And should stay. And that's it. That's all I had with that rant. It is over. Moving on. What's in the news today? What's going on? Lots of stuff. Today we're going to cover the Jimmy Kimmel debacle. ABC apparently pulled Jimmy Kimmel live off the air after he told some off-color Charlie Kirk jokes, allegedly. We're going to have the latest in Maha news. Maha, make America healthy. Again. We also have some news on the border with regards to the drug cartels and the latest in cocaine trafficking. And then finally, we're going to end with news that a conservative coalition is teaming with the Trump administration to push patriotism in education. We're going to be following those topics with a few rapid fire topics afterwards. So stay tuned for that. Stay tuned for me scrambling to actually get my thoughts together and say something in under 2 minutes. And also wish me luck, please. Godspeed for me. Speed. Maybe not speed, but conciseness. God concise. Conciseness. Godspeed. I don't need speed. I'm Hispanic. I already speak really fast. And I'm always trying to slow down. So I need conciseness. Concisity. Concise. It means brevity. There you go. Brevity, which is the soul of wit. I don't think there's an H in that, actually. Wit. Okay. Moving on. What's going on? Well, in the news, I guess top news in the news. Top news in the news. I have no excuse for this. I actually got some sleep last night. This baby actually did not wake up as much. All right. ABC pulled Jimmy Kimmel live off the air indefinitely, quote unquote, on Wednesday, citing comments the comedian made during his Monday night monologue about the killing of Charlie Kirk. Some context for this. Nexstar Media Group, which is seeking Federal Communications Commission approval for a pending $6.2 billion merger with Tegna. I don't know what that is. I will Google it for you. Said its ABC-affiliated stations would not run the show for the foreseeable future. Sinclair Broadcast Group, another large ABC affiliate owner, also suspended the show, demanding that Kimmel apologize to Kirk's family and make a meaningful personal donation to them and his right-wing student activist group Turning Point USA. Wow, what a kick in the balls. FCC Chair Brendan Carr, damn, everybody just piling up on this guy, appeared on political commentator Benny Johnson's podcast earlier Wednesday, saying Kimmel's remarks were quote-unquote truly sick and that there was a strong case for action against ABC and its parent company, Disney. Wow, they're really piling on. It's almost like they were waiting for just any excuse at all to do this. Trump celebrated the news on Truth Social. It's funny when they say truths. Okay, saying that leaves Jimmy Fallon and Seth Meyers, two total losers on fake news NBC. All right. Although it is kind of, to me, I know there's people on Truth Social, but it always feels like he's just tweeting in a little party space that he made for himself. It's like he goes into a little room in Mar-a-Lago that doesn't have anybody, really. Just a couple of, I don't know, people drifting in and out. And then he just goes, "That's right. That's right, losers. Fake news, NBC. And then he just goes back out where the people are and goes, "All right. What were you saying about the hors d'oeuvres?" Or something like that. Kimmel criticized MAGA supporters. MAGA? MAGA, right. For trying to distance themselves from Kirk's shooter and score political points from the tragedy during his opening monologue. Okay. There's a lot going on there. First, let's check out the video. Let's see. What's going on here? Okay. All right, let's skip ahead here. Okay. Stem from this joke during Monday. Jesus Christ, can I ever watch like an actual video anymore? Does it have to just be through some fucking company, like a vulture just pulling the clip and then just fucking obliterating the original clip so that you have to watch NBC LA YouTube channel? Jesus Christ. Okay.
With the MAGA gang desperately trying to characterize this kid who murdered Charlie Kirk as anything other than one of them and doing everything they can to score political points from it. You can see how hard the president is taking this.
My condolences on the loss of your friend Charlie Kirk. May I ask, sir, personally, how are you holding up over the last day and a half, sir?
I think very good. And by the way, right there, you see all the trucks? They've just started construction of the new ballroom for the White House.
Yes. He's at the fourth stage of grief, construction.
The day following the monologue.
Okay, well, I guess first observation is, I think if there was a possible way to do something that's the inverse of laughing, I just did that. Like an innie version of laughter, where like the laughter that the potential for laughter in me actually became a black hole for a second, and anything that was caught in its event horizon would have been torn to pieces, because that was just interestingly enough, he's saying that the right is picking this controversy or this assassination as an excuse to score political points. Meanwhile, he's basically taking that and what they're saying to score political points. And that's kind of the soul-killing reality of television today, is that you cannot actually just watch anything anymore and it not be politicized. I can already hear like some people, you know, everything, you know, everything personal is political. He's like, you know what? There was a moment in the last 20 years where the hope was that the personal would be political, right? That people would create policies that respected people's personal dignity and humanity, but it hasn't happened at all. The opposite happened. The political became personal. Now we take political shit personally. That wasn't the way it was supposed to go, people. And then on top of that, not only is everything political now something we take personal. Like you don't give a shit about your kid, you know, cutting off their tits and then running around saying they're a unicorn, but you do care about, you know, like what the left is saying about the Charlie Kirk assassination. It's like, what the hell is happening? Well, actually, that wasn't a good analogy. I guess the same kind of person would care about that. I don't know. Not to say that I care about anybody cutting their tits off. Cut your tits off. They're lame. They really get in the way. Not me right now. I'm breastfeeding. But once I'm done breastfeeding, I'm thinking about it. I'm thinking about taking my tits off, and I don't know. I don't know what I'll do with them. Maybe I'll taxidermy my tits, and I'll put them on a wooden plaque, and then I'll hang it up in my office, like the way people hang antelope heads. Why not? Right? Big game hunting. There's it. I got my tits. There you go. And everybody who walks in will have to just get a real eyeful of my taxidermy titties, the way you have to get an eyeful of some dead deer whenever you walk in anywhere. You know. Anyway, that went way off tangent. Sorry. Here, I'm going to give myself a little slap on the wrist for that. Pow, pow. So, yeah, I mean, this is all, I don't know. This stuff is all smoke and mirrors, first of all. Right? You got this Jimmy Kimmel shit. The second observation I'm going to make, other than the fact that it wasn't funny. However, late night TV in general is not that funny anymore, really. It's not funny. It's just this machine. It's just a Costco for actors and comedians and musicians to just go in and get access to the basic wholesale version of the American public. That's it. And so everybody has their Costco membership. And then you get to your PR agent, you fucking whatever. And you go to Jimmy Kimmel show, and then you parade around like a fucking poodle. They don't parade the poodles around anymore because, you know, that's animal cruelty now. And then that's it. And then you leave. And then you have this audience of people who, many who were paid to be there. Let's be real. They're just sitting there. Or maybe they're just there as like it's almost like a museum piece to go to a late night show now. It's very vintage. You just go. So you can be in this room. You could be immersed in this dated experience, this relic of the heyday of American television. And that's one of the reasons I think this actually really happened is, it's not just that it wasn't funny. It's also that those shows aren't relevant anymore. I think this is what I think. All right. Look at everything you have here. Look at how this all stacks up. You have a merger between two enormous companies, right? The FCC and Trump are the only thing standing in the way. They want that merger to happen. They don't give a shit about your politics, and they never will. And they didn't when everything was so-called DEI. And that's what everybody who criticized it, many of those people who criticized DEI were actually just saying that. Like corporations don't care about affirmative action. Don't you understand? They're doing it because of their wallets and their power that they want to retain. And it'll change at the drop of a hat, right? New administration, new company, right? Just rinse and repeat. They don't care about you. You should never give a shit about a corporation's political stance on anything because they don't have one. They're a soulless, money-making machine. The people that work for it are not there to steer it in a morally upright position. It's like a car. Do you know what I mean? You would not use a car to, let's say, swim in the ocean, right? It's not for that. The car gets you to the ocean, and then you go take a swim, right? Much like a corporation steers you towards a place where it's, you know, you got financial profits and all the shareholders are happy, and then they can go to the beach and take a swim or whatever, go on their yachts and take a swim. It's a vehicle. It has no soul. It's not meant to, right? And the CEO is not even, it's not even what you think it is. A CEO is just a manager of the machine of a corporation. He manages this complex machinery that has to do with social engineering for rich people, for investors, for shareholders, right? And that's what CEOs do. They're just management, right? They go here and there, and they become rich from it because it's one of those you know, jobs, which like, so, and some presidents and are CEOs, some CEOs are presidents, and some rich people become CEOs because they want to, though. They just like to tinker and they like to be, but you don't have to be a member of the upper classes to be a CEO. And a CEO is just, it's a person who services rich people, like the real rich people, though, the ones that you don't see anymore because they live on islands, and like Zuckerberg, right? And so they profit immensely from serving these people, as do politicians. That's why politicians are millionaires. Ilhan Omar, she tried to sue or bitch about how somebody accused her of being a millionaire making money. And then they actually audited her, and she is in fact a millionaire, her and her husband. You have to be a millionaire to be a politician. Don't you understand? Because if you're not, no one will give a shit about you. You won't have money to do anything. So you will lose your position, your incumbency, whatever. So you got these two giant FTC. They are going to do whatever it takes to nail this merger, to ensure that it happens beyond a shadow of a doubt. So the new administration, they're going to do whatever the fuck they think Trump wants, right? On the surface, this is what this looks like. Now, on that level, yeah, I don't know. This is an ethical quandary. Let's say, I'm going to be nice. This is unethical. Something about this does not smell good. It goes beyond the basic bitch criticism, which is like, oh, it's a private company. You say something, well, you gotta, you know, pay the piper, because you work for this person, and you know they don't care about your freedom of speech. They're a private company, and they want to make money. Jelly donut head people, I call them. Jelly donut head, I don't call them that. I literally made that up right now. But these jelly donut heads, right? They get their heads just full of jelly from all kinds of shit that they see online. They're already hyper-partisan, so they're vulnerable to that. And then they just kind of spew it out, like when you mush a jelly donut, right? Just spews out right all over your fucking Facebook page. And then you see people saying the same shit over and over again. This does not seem like it's just the surface level. A person who said something, you know, that can threaten this company is getting fired. So this is more like, we have this giant merger. We know that Trump is blah, so we're going to do blah. And so I don't know how I feel about that. Actually, I do know how I feel. That seems fucked up. You know what I mean? Like on the meta level. Okay, that seems like not a good direction. But at the same time, were we ever in any other direction? I know it felt like we were woke and this and that, and the country was going in XYZ direction. But was it, right? Or did these corporations think that that was the direction? They smelled it. They saw it in the horizon. So they just pivoted and acted like they were that too. And now that it's gone the other way, they're going to do that too. They don't give a shit. They want to make money. So, and maybe even they manipulate it. Maybe to keep people on the back step always is to just every administration switch back and forth. Or maybe it's us, right? Maybe we're predictable and they know what we're going to vote for. So they just already have it in the chamber with their think tanks and shit, what they're going to do next presidency, next quarter, next this, next that, right? They got lots of money. Lots of money, 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 money. But I think it's a combination of things. First of all, I think this is smoke and mirrors, right? I think late night TV has become irrelevant. I think it's just a relic of a period of old television history, a relic of the heyday of TV, as I said. I think maybe for whatever reason these late night TV show hosts probably have really good contracts that protect them from getting fired or gotten rid of too easily, like a professor with tenure at a university. And so a combination of that merger that they really want to happen, plus the fact that these shows are old anyway, and they're probably, they claim that these people have high views on YouTube, but if you look, all of the legacy TV shows have the exact same number of millions of views. I mean, isn't that kind of a coincidence? No independent YouTube channel has that level of consistency across type, right? No type of or level of YouTube channel, like anybody who's on the same level of, some like Logan Paul style thing has the exact same amount of views in that way. Like SNL, like ABC shows, all the late night TV shows, SNL. Those are the only ones I can think of off the top of my head, but they always have the exact same like cool 2 million views, always exactly on the mark. And I can't believe that is natural. You know, that comes with, you know, access to sophisticated marketing campaigns, brand campaigns or whatever the hell. And I don't know. I think those numbers are inflated. But anyway, that's my assumption. So that part you could just take right out of your brain because that's just me speculating. But I do think that they wanted to get rid of these guys. I think now they have a chance. You know, they have this excuse and they're going to take it. And it does not have anything to do with Trump. I think they wanted to get rid of them. Trump is an opportunity to get rid of them. Plus, they get the merger. So I think it's just all upside for them. And that's all these people ever care about. And I feel like if you're not already on this level that I'm about to say, you should get there. Okay. This is why you just know the nature of the beast, okay? Understand what a corporation is, understand like what a politician is, so that you know what to expect from them, what they really truly are at their core, what they mean for the structure of your society. That way you won't be fooled by the dumb shit that they say. They're always trying to make themselves seem authentic. They're always going to make themselves seem like they're getting better. They're always going to make themselves seem like they are just fighting for you. They're fighting for the little guy, right? They just want what's best for you. They want you to watch good TV. They want you to, you know, vote for the right guy, right? And it's always a lie. It's like, understand that a corporation, a politician, anything like that, a lawyer, they have to function. In order to function, they have to be a little sociopathic, and or it's like dealing with like a narcissist, right? But you shouldn't take it personal because it's a mechanism, not a person. And so you just have to always remember that a politician is a soulless husk of a human being, and akin to a corporation, dealing with a corporation, right? You got always a lawyer. Annoying, obnoxious, coked up, okay? And so if you remember that, I think you'll be all right. And you can see past all this news bullshit and see things for what they really are. What is this, the end of democracy as we know it and free speech? I think it probably erodes free speech, but I don't think in the way that people believe. I think it corrupts free speech rather than censors people. I think it's a corruption of free speech in that it's being used to complete a merger, if we're being honest, and that's it. And also like streamline ABC's, programming and licensure or whatever the fuck. So anyways, in MAHA news, we got Make America Healthy Again. In the midst of all of the RFK crackdown, vaccine schedules and all this stuff, we have some companies are actually stepping up and in reply to this new movement that the American public wants change in their food supply. And the Tyson Foods is one example. They have halted high fructose corn syrup use by the year end, plus 4 additives by 2025. Honestly, I think that's great. I think that's amazing. I think it's so good. I think conservatives that are really pro free market and stuff, they feel like this is, if you're really hardcore or maybe like paid off, they think that this will affect the corn industry and all this stuff, farmers or the fuck. But if the corn industry is literally fucking killing you and giving you something that is provably bad for your health, then I think that's an acceptable risk, right? If people were putting... people used to put cocaine in Coca-Cola and they took it out and Coca-Cola adapted. And so that's what these companies need to do. because it's not like we're affecting like small farmers and shit. We don't live in that world here anymore, okay? The small farmers are all just struggling, exploited, barely able to hold on to their land. They're only doing it mainly because of a legacy of their family handing it down to them, but it's not profitable for small farmers to farm for the most part. Depends on what they grow and yield. But most farms are run by these like mega farmers, right? These like big farmers. They own lots of land and it's like a corporate level of farming. So the little guy, it's like, what little guy? This guy's fucking huge. Okay. He owns half of Arkansas. Okay. Everybody else lives in a puddle of, refried corn dog grease and dead crickets. That's what everybody else does in Arkansas. And they just sadly just drink and go fishing and then go to church to feel less like bags of shit. And that's all they can do over there. Okay. And the rest of it's just owned by the fucking, just by a farm, by one farm. I don't know. Whatever. I don't know what I'm talking about. But then in the north, you got some like, yuppies in a little idyllic, hilly town, and everybody else lives in shit. So, in despair. So anyway, Tyson Foods, high fructose. I think that's a great thing. I think if they're going to, change recommendations for whatever the fuck, I think at least they're doing this. They're, and also the vaccine thing, from my understanding, the reason why they don't want to change the vaccine schedule, sometimes doesn't even have anything to do with the actual validity of a vaccine. It just seems like they just want to keep access of it to it open to everybody, so they have to universalize certain vaccines, which is fucked up, and it's like it shouldn't be like that at all, right? This is back to the insurance companies just messing everything up for everybody and putting people in fatal situations where, Sophie's Choice situations. So they should crack down on insurance companies, honestly. And let people get coverage for vaccines. I don't believe there should be mandates, but I do think people should get vaccinated if they want to get vaccinated, right? It should not be, restricting people either way to making their own health decisions. Within reason, right? People, like, you should probably give your kid your measles vaccine and shit like that. But yeah, anyway, that went nowhere. So in other news, so anyway, I'm pro fuck corn syrup. I'm pro that. I just want to put that out there. Yes. America loves cocaine again. Mexico's new drug king cashes in. This is according to Wall Street Journal. The Trump administration's war on fentanyl created an opening for El Señor Mencho to smuggle cocaine into the U.S. That's great. So now, speaking of which, this cocaine. Yes. I mean, I think most of the problems we have in this country would be mitigated to some limited degree. At least everything would be dialed down by about 20% if we all stopped doing cocaine in this country. Lots of people do cocaine. Lots of people in Hollywood do a shit ton of cocaine. Jimmy Kimmel is probably one of them. RFK, maybe he does cocaine. I don't know. And now it's resurging because of the crackdown on fentanyl. I never thought I'd live to see the day. This is what I say, where crack, smoking crack and doing cocaine makes you a more respectable drug addict because now there are people that do fentanyl and crystal meth. I never thought I'd see that. Crackhead, by comparison, a crackhead seems like harmless, just venerable, wise, street smart even, wise, wizened beyond their years because they have been aged a lot by the drug. Just a little wise, wizened old man sitting by the side of the road just thinking about how to score some more crack. And that's it, just harmless. And that's how you think of them now, because fentanyl and crystal meth make you into almost like insect level of peeling away your humanity, where you're kind of like a praying mantis more than you are a person. Those drugs are scary bad. If you don't just keel over and die completely, because I think if somebody touches you and they have fentanyl, you could just die straight up. And crack never did that. You get a contact high with crack. I mean, best, you know, worst case scenario, I don't know. You take all your clothes off and you start dancing around on a fountain somewhere outside. And that's kind of it. But crystal meth and fentanyl. Plus, not to mention like the opioids, right? That's always bad. I don't know why we don't do. I mean, if we're gonna do Make America Healthy Again, I don't know. Cocaine is like buying organic now. It's like buying organic fair trade because, you know, cartels, they make all the money that, you know, they don't get exploited by American multinational corporations. You go straight to the cartels somewhere in the rainforests of Mexico or Peru or something like that in the Andes. You got a man just whittling some wood, and every once in a while he'll put down the wood. He's whittling a little horse for his baby girl back home. And he just takes his gun and fucking points it at the face of a serf that he stole from the mountains of Bolivia to crush coca leaves into cocaine and goes, "Work, you fucking bastard." And he takes up the horse again and keeps whittling. He's like, "Yeah, you gotta stay on top of these guys." And if you buy some cocaine, you can support this local business owner. And he can thrive. And he can send his little girl to college in Paris. Isn't that nice? Oh, cocaine. Yeah, man, it's crazy. Everything... All of the countries that we're at war with, or at least three of them I can think of off the top of my head, if people stopped doing the drugs that come from those countries, I mean, you would hit them pretty hard in the wallet, and they wouldn't be able to sabotage the American public through it, right? You got China, fentanyl, Mexico, cocaine, even though it's kind of not just Mexico, but you know what I mean. And opioids, you got the Taliban, right? I don't know if they still do it, but they did for a long time. You could, right there, that's three enemies/competitors against the U.S. that you can just defeat. All you got to do is crack down on that shit. And it's not even crack. It's like, people, we have to, if you were really patriotic, you would just put the coke down, put the cocaine down. That's it. You'd solve so many problems. It's not going to happen. I wonder if people stop doing cocaine, would cartel members just migrate up here and try to make people do it at gunpoint or something? I don't know. I don't know how you would get people to not be addicted to stuff. How would you do it? You know, well, I guess, yeah. I mean, it's kind of like vaccines, right? If you want to get rid of an epidemic or whatever, you got to inoculate people early. And we don't give kids drugs anymore or alcohol anymore and all that. But, you know, we still give kids sugar. And sugar and the foods that have sugar in them, those are the most addictive fucking things in the world. I bet kids learn addiction in this country through sugar. That's the real gateway drug, is sugar. It's not even weed. They say it's weed, but they're lying. It's sugar. I know it. Because I never really ate sugar, and I did lots of weed. Never really did any other drugs. Never, not really at all. And people that I know that love, like, you know, snacking and foods and stuff, crystal meth makes you want to eat candy all the time and stuff like that. I think heroin does too. It's all connected to sugar. I think sugar is how they keep people ready to be addicted, to get into some vice, You know, that's how they get your kids. You think that you keep them away from drugs and alcohol, they're safe and you get them vaccinated, but you're wrong. You're wrong. Because you still give them just all of the cereal. All the cereal, you give them candy, right? You give them sugar, you are training them to be hooked on sugar. Sugar is really addictive, especially more for some than others, but it is. So, I don't know. There's some connection between parents giving their kids, you know, whatever, fruit roll-ups, and that kid then going on trying heroin and going, this reminds me of something. This is like fruit roll-ups, but like times a million. I think I'm going to do this again. It reminds me of my mother's love or some shit. Am I right? I don't know. Anyway, and this is pretty apropos, this next topic. Conservative coalition teaming with Trump administration to push patriotism in education. They're gonna team up with the Trump administration, and we're going to push patriotism. I hate that. It's just as stupid as the other direction to teach, you know, what was it? To teach the 1618 thing. What is it? Like that America never started until slaves came or some shit. It's to get that progressive is just as dumb as to teach people just patriotism. I don't want either. I don't want my kid to be exposed to either one of those things because they're both based on feelings, not anything real. I don't know why nobody ever proposes that we just teach kids civics. You should teach kids civics and you should teach kids finance. And then you should teach them a fucking trade because everything else is bullshit. They don't teach you anything in schools. And if you just gave them those three things, but they're never going to teach people that because then they would actually not fall for shit. Anyway, civics, I asked ChatGPT what the difference was. Check it out. This is why I prefer civics. Civics refers to the study of the rights and duties of citizenship and the functioning of government, while patriotism is the emotional attachment and love for one's country. Civics focuses on knowledge and participation in civic life, whereas patriotism emphasizes feelings of pride and loyalty towards the nation. I don't want my kid to feel pride and loyalty towards a nation, just de facto, right? I want my kid to know and understand and participate in civic life, and then eventually they can make the choice to profess fealty, bend the knee towards the nation, once they understand what a nation even is. In this digital age, who the fuck even needs a nation anymore? A nation is just like an old startup. It's like one of the old first startups. You go and you just push a bunch of brown people into the sea. You turn around, you go, all right, let's get to work. You make the country into this company. Everybody comes, they buy shit, you export shit. It's money, 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 money. And then you're doing good. You're counting your bills, right? And you're sitting on your yacht, counting your money, having a great time. It's just like late night shows. These are relics of a time that is now past. And the only reason why anybody tries to push you back towards it is because they haven't finished wringing out the last bit of money that they can from it. So they want you to still believe in these things so that you keep tuning in. And everyone's tuning out because you can't get people to believe in this stuff anymore because they've gone past this. Globalization happened. It happened. People are globalized mentally, right? They know now that they can just go live in Scotland and be a software developer if they so choose. You don't need to really be anywhere unless they change those laws, which they're trying to. So people gonna people and douchebags gonna douche. You know what I'm saying? Anyway, let's finish up with some rapid fire stuff, right? We got the Federal Reserve cutting key rate by quarter point and signals two more cuts this year. Hooray. Maybe I can get a job finally soon. Trump says he'll designate Antifa as a terrorist group, but offers few details. Love that. That's another nothing burger news thing where he just says he says a tweet. Everybody freaks out, but really you look into it and you're like, oh, he can't. Okay. Rudy Giuliani is ordered to pay $1.36 million in legal bills. I mean, this guy was just in a car accident. He's already been made to pay lots of shit because of legal bills and everything else, and he's been fined out the ass. Sacha Baron Cohen tricked him into being in his movie and made him look like a total creep right before the election. I mean, at this point, Rudy Giuliani, I'm starting to feel kind of bad for him. I think he, did he piss off the Lord? Did he piss off Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior? I mean, is this just like that Bible story about Job or whatever the fuck? Is he like in between God and the devil right now? I don't know, man. But that shiny foreheaded motherfucker, I wish him luck because he's not having a good life right now. I don't know if he even deserves any of that. I mean, that's kind of a lot. What did he do? Anyway, finally, Democrats press FBI director on Epstein files and other takeaways from his testimony to Congress. And this is, they're only doing that because, you know, now it's like to press the FBI director on Epstein files means to incriminate the Republicans. Just prior to that, during the Biden administration, the Republicans were doing it to the Democrats. And this is another one of those things where it's been politicized to the point where there is like no way past. They're just using it just to lob, you know, verbal grenades at each other, and nothing is being done in the interest of the American people. We want to know what the fuck happened to those girls, and they won't tell us because it's better for them, for us to never know, so they can keep just throwing innuendo at us about them, each other, so that we can just, I don't know, just fucking have heart attacks and die. Ugh. It feels like being in the middle of a dirty divorce. Like, it's getting dirty now. People get firebombed and assassinated. Like, this divorce is getting pretty nasty. And us kids, I mean, we're getting pretty unruly too, you know, because we're in a broken home. So we're just doing cocaine like a bunch of unruly children, like just renegade teenagers. That's America right now. We're acting up because our parents are acting up. Parents are going through a nasty divorce. And we're just like, we're doing coke, and we're eating sugar, and we don't want to get our vaccines, and we're running away from home and living abroad in like Portugal or some shit like that, or like a shack in the south of Italy. It's just the way it's going to be, I guess. Anyway, that's all the time I have for today. Thank you for tuning in to the Melissa Diaz Report. My name was Melissa Diaz. This was the Melissa Diaz Report. Tune in next week on Monday. I'll be back with more news for you. Thanks so much for listening. I really appreciate it. Hope you have a really good weekend. If you are out in Austin, I'm going to have a show this Saturday in West Austin. It's a really cool little spot, a little coffee shop in this Westlake Hills area, Hill Country. Really cute little coffee shop. They sell cold brews at night and some wine and beer. I'm making an apple pie. You're welcome to come. It's free. The apple pie, that is. Everything else, you got to pay for. The lineup's going to be really stacked. And yeah, we're going to have a good time. So come out. If you want more information, just check it out on my Instagram Linktree. It's the Goat Comedy Show. It's going to be at the Civil Goat, 704 Cuernavaca Drive. I'll see you there, or I'll see you next Monday. Until then, have a good night. Bye.